Well, I'm Van Shuden, and I'm TC Ranch, and probably some of you don't know what TC stands for. We like to say it's total commitment, but it probably stands for trouble constantly. I've been in the business. I bought my first heifer in 1952, so I've been in the business a little over 50 years. I've seen the little ones, the big ones, the tall ones, the short ones, about everything. When I was a teenager, I waited for that Angus General to show up, and I read it from cover to cover. And today, I still wait for that Angus General. But anyway, in 1962, I graduated from the University of Nebraska. I was on the livestock judging team. I've done a lot of judging quite around the country, a couple outside of the country. It's allowed me to see a lot of people, evaluate a lot of cattle. It's been a great experience as far as that goes. I met my wife showing cattle, and she's here today. Connie, where are you at? Maybe she left. Or she's not going to show up. In 1963, we got married, and I formed a partnership with her father-in-law, T.L. Sterner. It was named Town and Country at that time, so that's where the abbreviation has settled down. We've participated in production records since 1962, and maybe Truman a little before that, first with Nebraska Extension, and then ever since with the AHAR. My wife, Connie, she's over there. We're really involved in the Angus business. From head to toe, she was a junior advisor for several years. She has chaired two national junior Angus shows and two regionals, and she's a very integral part of our operation. She keeps the records. She's very good with the books. She does really well that way. Our son Drew was on the junior board and had a great experience with that, and he's part of the operation now. We run about 600 cows, plus about 140 bred heifers this year. We also farm about 2,000 acres. I have my son and me when I'm there, and we have four employees. We had a first sale in 1975. We sell about 160 bulls in a sale and about 40 heifer calves. We also private feed some more bulls later on. We try to offer everything, all the information there is that we know of that's available through the association to our customers. We steer 35% of our calves every year. I don't care if it's ET, high-priced semen, they don't meet our specs. We don't keep them. We go to a feedlot with them. That gives us the carcass data that we'd like to have and see how our cattle perform. It also keeps our quality of our bull offering up. On our bull sale, we deliver. Of course, we fertility test and ultrasound the cattle. We give a first year breeding guarantee. We freeze brand the bulls if they'd like it. We fax to the feedlots and some of the Angus Association some of the data that if the people that send it to us so that they can help sell their cattle. We have always transferred our bulls. I think this program of Matt's put together, I think this will help that deal. If we have a problem, we take care of it immediately. I found that you don't take care of it immediately. We like to treat our customers like we'd like to be treated. We have not started a sale for our commercial customers. Might be in the works this year. I'm kind of glad I didn't because my people are pretty independent and they might want to take advantage of when this cattle price is pretty good. We do think there's a chance of maybe starting a replacement female sale, and we think we'd like to try that. We'd be able to have our bull 5 to 6 weeks year after our sale. We really switch them over to a higher refrigeration. We think it helps the longevity, and it switched them to a more environment that these bulls will stay longer. We visit as much as possible. We think we're lacking in that respect yet. I was at a Nebraska Angus tour the other day, and one of the commercial people there, he talked, of course, he wants an excellent product. But he has a couple of things that herd needed, and he said he wanted some disposition, and he had some udder quality. He had some problems before, and he did start with another breed before, but he evidently got some problems. So we need to really watch some of the production issues. We try to develop our bulls as soundly and as big of pastures as we can. We think we try to offer something with very fertile. We offer something with cavities, with disposition, and other quality. And of course, we've got to have quite a little growth. We do calve our cows out in the open, except for our heifers. We calved them all out in the open last year. Got along great, and we cull very hard for those things. Some of the things we do in management, we've got management very similar to the commercial operations in our area. We probably go to grass around the 1st of May, pull them off around the 1st of November, run them in corn stalks in the valley till in November or in December and sometime in January. Depends on our weather situation. We do freeze brand all replacement heifers. We have done that for 1980 and been pretty successful at it. We always done some of the is our shots. We've tried to be careful what we do. We give two shots before we wean them. And when we wean them, we give another shot. We tried something this year a little different. We weaned the heifer calves in the pasture. We certainly will continue to do that. The drought last year and this year has taught us a few lessons that we think have really been helpful. It's kind of a blessing in disguise. Weaned those calves early last year. Cow condition came back really strong. Wintered the cows the easiest we've ever wintered them. So one of the things that I think we've come, some people in our part of the world certainly learned some good lessons on the drought. We do rotate pastures pretty hard, and we do calve our cows in February and March. If we didn't have a bull sale for yearling bulls, I'd back that thing up, but we have started a fall program, and that looks really promising. Well, that's pretty easy right now. I go out there and check calves once a day and weigh and tag them, and no frozen ears, no problems at all, so something we might do a little bit more of. We do some ET. We're not really geared up to do really a lot of it. The cows that we do ET are usually Pathfinder cows. Maybe this is backwards of some operations, but we really want to do it mainly to put replacement females in our herd, and the bull will be a bonus. I guess we try to be a total kind of a program. Not a one selection trait program. We think we've got to have a total product. I guess some of you in here are probably being a little frustrated like I have. And we open the Angus Journal and all we see is IMF that, IMF that, and it's number three in the breed. This cow is number three in the breed for this trait out of 5,000 head or something like that. I don't know. But a wise man told me that we've had three really emotional issues in the Angus breed. Birth weight, milk, and marbling. And the Angus breed really doesn't have a problem with any of them. I'm pretty well in tune with quite a few feedlots. We feed our own out, too, and buy a few extra. And I think most feedlots agree that Angus cattle really don't have a whole lot of problem in marbling, something I sure think we need to keep and we need to watch. But I don't think we've got a real big problem. They'll tell you we need a little more ribeye, a little less back fat, and we certainly want to keep the gain up there. There's some Angus cattle that they do not feel gain as well as they should have. And, you know, it's managing like it depends what your frame score. A lot of times you've got to be managing what kind of frame score. And a good feedlot will do that. I guess things that I think we need to look at down the road. I think we need to look at fertility. We need to look at longevity. I think we sure not watch the structure. And we talked about the profitability factor this morning. I was fortunate enough to be on the board of directors for 6 years. I'm sure that I got a lot more out of the board than they did me. When I was Kevin's age, I was a whole lot smarter than I am today. I knew a lot more. I knew exactly what a lot of things are supposed to be done. Today, I really don't wonder where we're going and what we're doing, but we have lots of things to worry about. When I was on the board, it was the best of times and the worst of times. I'm talking to some of these people who are running for the board or here today. When I was on the board, we were in the early 80s. We were down to 120,000 registrations. I think we barely hit 1 million pounds of CAB product in a year. But everybody, so it was the worst of times, but the board members were really focused and were really all heading in the same way, doing the very, very best they could. We were really lucky to have some board members on the board at that time. And we're really lucky to have the leadership in the Angus Creed all these years. We have been extremely fortunate to have the leadership we've had and the staff. And without that, we wouldn't have passed some of those breeds that we saw. At that time, we were number two. And I think sometimes it's always easier to be number two. And it's kind of like, I always say, you work a little harder when you're in debt. And I sure work pretty hard because I'm going to be in debt for a while. But a couple of things I want to say, a couple of sayings maybe, never say never. There's some things that come up, you know, you might want to think about that. Always keep an open mind, and I think this association has been really, really good about that. One quote Connie found for me, beware that you do not lose the substance by grasping at the shadow. Thank you.